Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Mem. We are holding on daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rav Nachman. Last line on the page on Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Say Shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and Lili Nishmas, his mother Golda Bas Simcha Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. And also by Zev and Eliza Belsky in honor of the art site of Zev's grandmother, Bela Rivka Bas Yeruchim Halevi, and Hashem Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, the Gemara is going to go through a list of when Edim need to be instructed to write a shtar and when they can assume that if they were being told something, that they're okay to write a shtar, that they have the go-ahead to write the shtar without being instructed to do so. So we're going to discuss different transactions or different statements that are said in front of Edim and what Edim can assume in each of those contexts. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of a moda'a. When do we write a moda'a? What exactly is the text of a moda'a? A moda'a is a way of saying in advance that I know I'm about to do a kinyan, but I want you to know that this kinyan is not serious. I'm being forced into it. It's not. I don't have full das to do it. So it's a way of issuing a warning in advance that this kinyan that you're about to see in front of your eyes is not really a kinyan. That's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion about a secret shtar matana. So if a person writes a matana, a shtar matana, dafka, in secret, so is that a valid shtar matana? The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly is a secret shtar matana. We're going to have a couple of possibilities, nafkamina, between them, and that discussion of secret shtar matana is going to bring us pretty much all the way to the end of the daf. So let's begin Lamed Tes Amud Beis, last line on the page, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. So Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Mecha'a b'fnei shnayim. The reason we enter into this conversation is because the first of the things that we discuss doing in front of two people and whether they should write it or not write it is a macha'a, which is the topic of our perek. So a macha'a of a bailim, keneged, someone's chazaka in his field works in front of two people as edim, vein tzarech lomar ksovu, and he doesn't have to tell the edim to write me a shtar that you saw that I made my macha'a. They could write the shtar even though he never told them to write a shtar that they saw the macha'a, that they heard the macha'a, because the writing of the shtar is for the benefit of the ma'arer, so they're allowed to go and do something that is for the benefit of the ma'arer. The Balei HaTosos in Dibra Maschil Macha'a and Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the Balei HaTosos are bothered. He says, and going over to Amud Aleph over here, that even though a shtar without the approval of the person who stands to lose from the shtar, like for example, a shtar mecher without the approval of the mocher is normally a pasul shtar. You can't write a shtar for a chov of one party and a benefit of the other party without the party that's going to lose approving of the shtar. And it has it doesn't have the power of edus, because the Gemara darshins mipiem v'lo mipiksavim gittin dafayin aleph, that we have such a concept that edus piksav is not edus, but somehow over here this edus works mipiksav, meaning these two people who heard the macha'a are able to put that edus in a shtar, and that's going to work. Why? So Tosus writes, because it's a takanas chachamim, that this edus is going to work to be mevatel chazaka, because a chazaka is a weak enough type of claim on a property that with a davar muat, you can, the chamor mesakin, we can destroy a chazaka. So by a moda'a, the chachamor mesakin, that the edus works in order to save the ne'enas as well, as we're going to see soon. The Ri quotes from Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos, that you could write the edus bishtar and send it to a beis din, and it's not a psul of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam, because this din is only the din of mipiyam is mechadesh, that the din of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavam is only when it comes to edim that are mute, that are unable to have mipiyam. So we say, no, come, these people can't give edus. The only way they would be able to give edus is mipiksav, and that doesn't work. But if you have someone who's capable of mipiyam, then it could be afilu mipiksav. If they're capable of saying, if they're capable of speaking, then even an edus b'ksav is going to work. A big chiddush in the din of mipiyam v'lo mipiksavim. It's like kol haroi lebila ein bila makevespo kind of a svara, that if they're able to give proper edus b'peh, then their edus b'ksav is going to work. Rashi on Chumash clearly disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi quotes on the drasha on the pasuk al pishnayim edim that they shouldn't write their edus in any geres and send it to Beis Din. Meaning even someone who's able to say the edus cannot write down their edus and just send it in to Beis Din in that way. The Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran say that that it works over here. It works bishtar because the macha and the moda'a are things that are completely dependent on the ma'arer. They don't really relate to the machzik at all. You don't mean the machzik isn't doesn't have a choice in the matter whether you make a macha'a or don't make a macha'a on his property on the property. It's a warning to him to hold on to the shtar, but he doesn't have a choice in the matter. When it comes to shtar mecher, of course I'm not allowed to write a shtar mecher if the mocher is unaware of it. You're writing the chov of the mocher, and the kinyan doesn't work unless he has das to be makna, that which he's selling. But say Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ran, when it comes to, I don't need the ma'arer's approval to put this down in the shtar. The ma'arer, the machzik's approval to put this down in the shtar. The machzik doesn't have a say in the matter whether I'm ma'arer, whether I make a macha'a. So however, the Ran does caution that it should be done b'lashon of shlichus, meaning they should say Ploni he danu al atzmo lichtov alav shemicha, that he testified about himself, or he let us know that we should write the shtar that he made a macha. But if they say shamanu vi ploni shemicha, we heard, and as a form of edus, as a lashon of edus, then it doesn't work because mipiam v'lo mipiksavim. It can't be said as a lashon of edus. It's said as a lashon of shlichus, that we are hereby letting you know as the shluchim of so and so that his macha is hereby registered, as opposed to saying that we're being made, that we saw or heard a macha. You can't be made mitoch haksav, but you can register a macha mitoch haksav. So again, macha could be is in front of shnayim. Ain tzarich lomar ksovu. You don't need to tell them to write it down. They can write it down. Word will get out. The macha will hopefully reach the ears of the machzik, and he will now know to hold on to his shtar. Moda'a bifnei shnayim ve'ain tzarich lomar ksovu. Similar to macha, when it comes to a moda'a, when you let Edom know that, listen, you should know that the matana I'm about to give, or the sale I'm about to make to Ploni is being done against my will. He's forcing me, and I want to passel the shtar, and as soon as I'm able to, I'm going to take this field back, I'm going to take this item back. So that works to be mevatel a kinyan that has yet to be made, even though you're going to write a full shtar kinyan on the field, on the whatever item it is that you are that you're selling the other party. So that works bifnei shnayim. That's how the Rashbam explains. He says the mesira of the moda works even if it's only though if it's done before the mesira. But if it's if you're moser moda after the mesira, then it's too late. Then it's not going to work, which makes a lot of sense, right? Meaning once a kinyan was already made, you can't later come and say, I did a full kinyan with a shtar, a full sale, everywhere, and then later on I'm going to say, oh, by the way, I didn't mean I was just being forced into it. That doesn't work. You can't later say that you're being forced into it. But if it's initially prior to the kinyan, you let it be known in advance. So that's the concept called a moda'a, because the ma'aser kinyan has not yet been done. So that you do bifnei shnayim. The Bala Karka does not have to tell the Edom to write it down. They write the Shtar that they were Edom to this Mesiris Moda'a, even though they were never told to write such a Shtar, because it's Litova, it's to the benefit of the Mocher. The Rashbam points out, even though the Din of Moda'a and the Din of Macha'a are exactly the same over here, right? They're both Bifnei Shnayim, Ein Tzarech Lomar Ksovu. So why didn't the Gemara just say Macha'a Umoda'a bifnei shnayim vein tzarich lomar ksovu? Why does it have to split it up into two separate sentences? So the Rashbam says the pashut pshat that these were two different statements that were made by Rav Nachman in two different contexts, and the Gemara is just putting them together. Rava is just being mesader them together. So that's why Rava says each sentence, you know, there's a concept chayev adam lomar b'lashon rabo. Person is supposed to say something over in the very lashon that he heard it from. That's how our mesorah works. Otherwise, the Masorah would never, if everyone was making adjustments all the time, then it would be very difficult to transmit a Masorah that's reliable. So we have a concept of Chayav Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. So Rava was fulfilling that concept. He heard one time from Rav Nachman Machab, if Neshnai Mein Zorach Lomar Ksovu, another time, Modav, if Neshnai Mein Zorach Lomar Ksovu. So he told them both over in full instead of on his own, combining the two of them. That is how the Rashbam explains. Some of the Achronim work on other possibilities of why it is that we split them up, that maybe there is some daylight between them. Maybe there is some difference in some of the details of the halachos. One of the Achronim explains that Rava didn't mention them together because the halacha is that the macha'a is done in front of could be done in front of the machzik and an eid echad as well, as opposed to a mada'a needs to be done in front of shnei eidim, and one of them is not the other party, because then you're trying, that's the whole point, you're trying to not let the other party know that the shtar you're about to do with them. So again, there may be some differences between them. Tosos also points out that even though they could the mocha can write, the people that he says in front of can write that the mocha told them to write a shtar, and it's not near a kesheker, because it's mistaver that the mesiras hamacha in front of them was so that they should be able to write a shtar. Meaning even though they were never told to actually write it, they could even write in the shtar when they write it, and we were instructed to write this down. That's what the Tosos points out, because what do you think he told it to you in front of two? Why do you think he told it to Adam? It's obvious because he wanted you to write it down, and therefore you can even report that you were instructed to do so. So far we have macha'a and we have moda'a. Third example, third case, hoda'a. If you are moda to someone that you owe him some money, that hoda'a works to be mechayiv him bifnei shnayim if it was done in front of two edim v'tzarech lomar k'sovu. But in that case, the one who was moda has to instruct the edim to write a shtar on his hoda'a and to give that to the malva. And if you did not instruct the edim to put it into writing, then they should not write it, because the ksiva of that shtar is a chov on the moda, because now it's going to become a milva b'shtar. The money that he owes is no longer going to be a milva al peh. Now it's going to be a milva al shtar. So you can't give him all the chumras of a milva b'shtar without his approval, without his instructions to do so. The Meiri points out that there are three different types of hoda'a. There's hoda'a that you do in front of edim when the malvas toveya you, and in that case the moda can be chozer from his hoda'a and say mishata yisibach. I was just kidding around. Unless the moda said to the edim at the shas hoda atem edai, when he says atem edai, or the malva says to them and the moda is shosek, when there is a statement of atem edai that they were specifically appointed as edim, then you know that's serious. That's a real hoda that you can never back out on. But if it was never with an atem edai, he always has the possibility of mishata nibach. The second type of moda is that he wasn't prompted to give a moda. He was moda on his own, just in the course of conversation, meaning in front of two edim, meaning they say that you have so many chovos, and he says, no, I don't have so many chovos, all I owe money to is this guy and that guy. Whoa, this guy and that guy, now we have two edim that he owes to this guy and that guy. So the moda can be chozerbo and say, I was just saying it b'derech schok, or that you shouldn't think that I'm such an usher, and I was just trying to downgrade my reputation a little bit, so I wanted you people to think that I owe money. I mean, there are ways out of that. But then there's the case, says the Meiri, where a guy on his own is moda in front of shnei edim b'derech hoda'a, as if he's being moser dvarim. Like he says to them, b'tzina, you should know that I owe so-and-so X amount of money, and then the hoda'a is going to be mechayiv him, even if it's not in front of the toveya at all, and he'll never be able to be believed to say mishata nibach or shalola haspia asatzmi, because he's the one that prompted the whole situation, and he's the one that identified the edim and that gave it over to the edim. The Rambam in Hilchos Torah Nitan Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph goes with that third formulation, but with one more detail. He says that the toveya has to be there at the time of the hoda'a. If the malva was not there at the time of the hoda'a, so then the moda is neman to be chozer and say shalol asbiya atzmi iskavanti, that I was just trying not to make it look like I'm a rich guy. But that type of hoda'a, a strong hoda'a that you're not going to be able to back out on, is bifnei shnayim, but still the people need to be instructed to write down in a shtar. If they aren't instructed, they may not write it in a shtar. So now we have macha'a, moda'a, hoda'a. Fourth example, kinyin bifnei shnayim ve'eno tzorech lomar k'sovu. That kinyin sudar that you do in order to acquire something will work only if it's done in front of two edim, and you don't need to tell the edim to write it down in a shtar that they saw the kinyin. They can write the shtar even without being instructed to do so, and the Gemara is going to explain why momentarily. So the Rashbam writes, Rav Nachman mentions two edim by require a kinyan only because he mentions that kim shtaros requires shlosha. So it sounds like these edim are only edim as a raya that he shouldn't deny that he had done the kinyan, meaning that otherwise the guy might be able. The only reason you need edim over here is not to effectuate a kinyan. A kinyan can happen just between the two parties to the kinyan. The edim are there just to make sure that this guy won't be able to deny later on that he did the kinyan, even in front of Eid Echad. You don't need it. It could just be done b'neihem, because the whole purpose of the edim is just that he shouldn't be able to deny it later. Tosfos Rid explains that when the Gemara says shnayim, it's because it's to say the din of ein tzarich lomar ksovu, that they don't need to be instructed ksovu, that they know on their own that they can write the shtar, and you need two edim in order to be able to have a shtar. However, the Rashba quotes a shitas haravid that only if you have shalaf ish na'alov nasan l're'ehu, the kinyan that's mefurish in the psukim in Rus, then you don't need edim if they're both moda. But a kinyan sudar looks like a chucha v'telula, and if it's not done b'fnei shnei edim, what is a kinyan sudar? A handkerchief, a pen, you take a gartel or something. Some people think that that's a joke, says the Raivin, and the only way to make a kinyan sudar serious is in front of edim. So only in front of edim can you actually do a big chiddush in terms of how kinyan sudar works. But the Pashtus is like the other Rishonim, that no, Kinyan, I can do a Kinyan as long as we both trust each other that this Kinyan actually happened. Then finally, Kiyum Shtaros Bifnei Shlosha. When it comes to Kiyum Shtaros, someone has a Shtar against somebody else, and the Bala Shtar is worried that the Edom that are signed on the Shtar are going to die, or they're going to disappear, they're going to go to Medina Siyam, and they're never going to be able to verify their signatures. So he brings the shtar and the edim to Beis Din, and they're made that this is our signature, and Beis Din writes at the end of the shtar, we hereby certify the shtar. They put their stamp on the right, and the dayanim sign on it, and mikan ve'elach, you don't need the bala shtar to be mekayim the shtar. Now it is a fully certified shtar. So that can only be done in front of a Beis Din of Shlosha. That's a matter of Beis Din. So that's that needs three people instead of two people. So that's the simin mamhak, right? The simin of what we just said is a macha'a, Moda'a, Hoda'a, and Kinyan. That all of those are the things that need to be done bifnei shnayim. The last thing we said was kiyum shtaros, was that's bifnei shlosha. So Amar Rava, so Rava said, okay, I got all these dinim, but ikashali, if there was any one of these dinim that bothers me about having Edom write a shtar, ha kashali, hai kinyan echidami. The part about kinyan was troubling to me. That which Rav Nachman said that it could be that it's done by two people, what do we compare it to? Ikamaisa based in dummy if writing a star on a kinyan is considered like a maisa bezdin, because it's similar to what dayanim would do, that through their edus they saw the kinyan, so mammon is going to go from the kona to the makna, and therefore the edim write a shtar on the kinyan, even though the makna never told them to write the shtar, and the shtar is a chov for the makna. So only by itlasa, then Rav Nachman should require the kinyan be done in front of three people. Why does it work even if it's done b'fnei shnayim? V'loka maisa bezdin. I mean, and if you say that this writing of the shtar about the Asiyas Kinyan is not considered a Maisa Beis Din, and that's why you don't need to do it in front of three people, you can just do it in front of two. Amayin Ritzar Glam Ksovu. Why do the Edim get to write the shtar without the instruction of the Makna to do so? The writing of the shtar is a chov for the Makna. You know, Beis Din could do things that are a chov for the Makna because they're Beis Din. Beis Din all the time imposes things against somebody's will. But if it's not a Maisa Beis Din, it's just that they're serving as the Edim for the Kinyan, so Mehechi tastes that they're allowed to write a shtar. So Basa Debaya Hadar Pashta, after Rava expressed this confusion over this din of Rav Nachman, he later explained he was able to resolve it, that Liolam Lav Kamaisa Bezdin. Really, the Ksivas Ashtar on the Kinyan is not considered a Maisa Bezdin, and therefore you only need Shnei Edim. V'ach, a time am I, and over here, what's the reason that Inu Tzarech Lomar Ksovu, that the makna does not have to tell the why is it that the makna doesn't have to tell the edim to write the shtar on the kinyan, and they write it without being instructed to do so? Mishum distam kinyan l'ksiva omed, meaning even though it's not a maisa bezin, so therefore you would think without the permission of the makna they better not write a shtar. No, stam kinyan is l'ksiva omed. Anything that you make a kinyan is meant to be written down, and the reason is because the mechayev, the the Mischayev is trying to be Mekayev the Mekach with the Kinyan Sudar because Sudar is the most available thing. And he's not, this is how the Rashbam explains, he's not pushing it off that that we'll wait until we actually have the Metaltel in front of us, or we could do a Nol Gadar Viparetz on the Karka, we could do some act on the Karka. So you see that the fact that he's using a Kinyan Sudar shows that he's giving it Pa'ayin Yafa, that he wants it to happen like now, right? Because Kinyan Sudar is, you could just take anything, you just take the pen out of your pocket and you do it, and there's a Kinyan right there. Why would you do a Kinyan that way? Why not wait till you can actually do a Kinyan on the actual item itself, on the actual property itself? So Mistama, he's doing it because he really wants it to happen. So he's doing it Ba'in Yafa, and therefore Mistama, he's very happy to have a Shtar written on the Kinyan. That's how the Rashbam explains. Rabbeinu Yonah just adds that other Kinyanim are not Omid L'Ksiva because the Kona is for a different reason. Not only because you're showing that Pa'ayin Yafa, like the Rashbam says, that you're using a Kinyan Sudar. Usually you don't need to write a Shtar for other Kinyanim because you have it. Meaning if I did a Meshicha, so I have the item. So now I'm Muchzuk in it. But a Kinyan Sudar, nothing really changed hands. I picked up your pen, okay, good. But the item itself that I'm acquiring is still exactly where it was. So that's why you need to write a Shtar, says Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses the dinim of Mesiras Moda'a. Once we mention the din that Moda'a is Bifnei Shnayim, that when you do a Moda'a, it's Bifnei Shnayim, Vein Tzarech Lomar Ksavu, so we go into some more details about Moda'a. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Tarvayu, Lo Kasvin Moda'a, Ela Aman Delo Tzayis Dina. We only write a Shtar Moda'a for someone who forces other people into transactions, and he's not going to listen to the Psak of Beis Din. So we have to believe the Balakarka that this guy is, that he's an onus in selling this karka, and he's not interested in selling it. But if the person who's forcing him is someone who would follow the instructions of the Beis Din, so then we don't write a shtar on the Mesiras Moda'a in advance, because if the Balak Karka is really telling the truth that he was an onus in this Mechira, let him bring him the guy to Beis Din so that he won't force him to sell the Karka. And the fact that he's not being Tovei, I mean, do it right. Do it straightforward. Just take him to a Beis Din. Say, I don't want to sell this Karka. He's trying to force me to sell the Karka. And if the guy's going to listen to Beis Din, so good, let him listen to Beis Din. We don't have to do this underhanded thing where I go in advance and I write a Moda'a. That's only for someone you know is going to give the Beis Din a hard time. Abai v'Rava, so that is the statement of Rabba and Rav Yosef. But Abai v'Rava Dami Tervayu Afilu Alaiva Alecha, that even if the person who is forcing this sale is someone like me and you, says Abai and Rava, that we certainly would be people who would submit to the Psak of the Beis Din, you could still write a Moda'a against such a person, because it's not, the way the Rashbam says, it's not always easy to find a Beis Din. I mean, it's not always Batei Din are not always readily available. Sounds from the Rashbam, though, that if there is a Beis Din readily available, and he decided not to be Toveya the Anas to a Beis Din, the person who's forcing this Mechira to a Beis Din, then we would not write a Shtar on the Mesiras Moda'a. Meaning the only reason we're willing to write a Shtar on the Mesiras Moda'a, Alive Alecha, on people like Abaye and Rava, is because there's no Beis Din available, says Rashbam. But if there is a readily available Beis Din, then there's no reason to write such a Moda'a. However, the Ramban writes that Abaye and Rava hold that you write a Shtar for the Nenas, Shtar Moda'a for the Nenas, even if he was not Toveya the Anos to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din is readily available, and even though the Anos is someone who's Tzayis Ladina, he's someone who would listen to a Beis Din, because the fact that he wasn't Toveya the other guy to Beis Din is not a raya that he's mochel to him. You can't force him because if the Anos were to decide later on, you know what, I'm not going to listen to Beis Din, so there's no way you're going to be able to force him to do it at that point later on. So this Moda'a is a way to lock it in, whether the guy is going to be Tzayis Ladina or not Tzayis Ladina in the future, regardless of what his history actually is. Now the Ran writes that this machlokas about Moda'a on a mecher that was done by Onas is only about a mecher, but a Moda'a on a Mesiras HaGet or a Nesinas Matzah Katana, which is only for the sake of Gilui Milsa, that Modah is going to work even if you're not an Ones, because you're not giving B'chal Libo. So that L'Kuli Alma you can write even when the Ones is Tzayis L'Beisdin, even if he does listen to Beisdin. Okay, so Vaiter in the Sugya of Modah, Amri Nardai. So he said in Nardah, Kol Modah Delo Ksivba Ananya Dinan Bei Bu'unsa Deplanya Lav Modaihi. That the language of the Modah, the Lashon of the Shtar, has to include that Ananya Dinan Bei Bu'unsa Deplanya. We know what that the Ones that this guy is facing, and that's what the Modah is about. But if they just say, Ploni Omar Lanu Shenenas, you know, this guy tells us that there's some sort of onus, then it's not a real moda'ah, because the Edom don't really know that it's an onus. They're just taking it as word. It's as if there was no real moda'ah. So it says we are moda'ah demai. What type of moda'ah are the Bnei Nardah talking about that it doesn't work if you just say in Edos that this guy told us that he's being nenas? If we're talking about a husband who wants to be mevatel the strength of a get that he's about to give to his wife, or a person who's about to give a shtar matana and he wants to be mevatel the strength of that shtar matana, such a moda'a, you only need a gilei das that you don't really intend to give the get or the matana. And even if the edim don't know what the ones is exactly, you know, the nesinus haget and the nesinus matana should be batal anyway, because it's dafka by a mesiris moda'a and a mechira that we have to be choshesh that the fact that you're selling is because of some sort of monetary pressure, but really you'd much rather keep the karka in your own rishus, and therefore, in order to be able to undo the mecher after you make a little bit of money, you give this modah to be mevatel the mechira, even though maybe there was really no ones over here. So that's why the edim have to be very careful. Meaning, sometimes a guy really he needs money, he needs cash right now, so he's gonna sell his property. And why is he going to give him a da'a in advance? Just in case a few deals break my way and I'm able to make back some money. I want my property back. I'm not interested in selling my house. I have to. So he's going to write a moda'a. He's going to make a moda'a so that when he makes a little more money, he'll be able to undo this sale. So we need to know exactly what the onus is, you know, before we're going to write a moda'a and let him get away with something like that. But a guy who's megarish his ishto, or a guy who's giving matana, where you're not getting any money for this, so you only do it if you're doing it b'lev shalem. So you don't give a moda'a if you're not honest to do it, because if you don't want to do it, just don't give it, right? I mean, if you don't want to give the matana, just don't give the matana. You don't want to be megarish the isha, just don't be megarish the isha. So the moda'a is a much easier moda'a to do, because there's no concern that he's being underhanded about this. No, it's probably there's some sort of onus in place. So vi'i disvini, and if the modah that we're talking about is a modah that was given about someone who's selling his field, and therefore the edim need to know exactly what the onus is before they write the shtar, because if they don't know, then we have to be concerned, like we just spoke about, v'amar Rava lokas vini modah asvini. But didn't Rava say that edim don't write a shtar modah when it's going to be mvatal the mechira? Because if the edim know that it's an onus, the mechira is batal even without a mesiris modah. And if the onus is not an onus gomer, then the mesiris modah doesn't work. So it's not Shaykh, the whole din of Nardah is not Shaykh. Meaning Nardah said that they have to say, we know exactly what the onus is. Mimanav Shach, if it's about Matana or a get, you don't need to know exactly what the onus is. And if it's about a mecher, even knowing what the onus is, you don't need to write a modah. The onus, the fact that you have Edom that know the onus is good enough without a modah. So it says, well, the Olam Dizvini, really it is about a modah on a sale. You don't write a shtar, Rava had said, you don't write a shtar modah on a mechira, modi Rava hecha da anus. Rava's moda that they would write it in a case where the mocher is an anus, where if he doesn't give the moda, the edim aren't going to know that he was an ones. It's only through the moda that the edim will be aware of the ones. Ukamaisa de pardesa, like the story that happened with the famous orchard that we're about to quote, the famous vineyard or orchard that we're about to quote. So in that story that we're about to see, that's where you need the edim to write the moda'a, because you're not going to have a yediyas ha'edim without the moda'a. What's that story? How do you have such a hechitimtza that you need edim to write the moda'a? Tahu gavra demashkin pardesa lechavre letlashnin. There was a person who borrowed money from somebody else, and he gave us a mashkon, he gave a vineyard for 3 years as payment of the chov, right? Mashkanta de surya type of thing, that he gets this this pardes for 3 years, and that will work off the chov. After the Malva had it for 3 years, which is the amount of time that you need normally for a chazaka to say that you're the owner of the field, and the Lova wanted his kerem back, so Amarle, the Malva said to the Lova, Imas Bantli, if you agree to sell me the kerem for what it's worth, mutav, then we'll get along just fine, right? Meaning I'm enjoying my time in this kerem. I've had it for 3 years. I see there's a lot of potential here. I'm willing to buy it from you. I'm willing to pay you good money for it. But and if you're willing to accept that, then we'll be fine. Ve'ilo, but if you don't agree to sell it to me, kavishna l'shtar mashkanta, I'm just going to hide the shtar mashkanta, the shtar of the mashkon that says that it was that this was only given to me as a mashkon. Vamina l'kuchi biyadi, and I'll just claim that it was l'kuchi biyadi, that I had purchased it, and because after all, I have 3 years of chazaka on it, so I can always do that. Now, the obviously the case is that the lova forgot to make a macha'a, meaning part of the Gemara had asked, why would we come up with this mashkanta? Why would we allow mashkanta to sur? The rabbanim are misagim mashkanta to sur. People are going to make chazakas and properties that aren't theirs. So the Gemara had said previously, that's why you need to make a macha'a every 3 years within the mashkanta. The guy didn't. He didn't make the macha'a. So now the other fellow had the property. The malva had the property for 3 years, and now he's strong arming him. He's saying, listen, you can either sell it to me, or I'll just claim I bought it anyway. And I'll be believed. So kiay gavna kasfina mulda. In such a case like that maisa, where the mocher was an onus to sell it, and it was an onus gamur because he's going to lose his money entirely otherwise, and without giving the mulda, the edim could not possibly know that he was an onus. So then Rava would agree that we do write a mulda, that even on a sale we're going to write a mulda. Am Rav Yehuda, haima tanta tmirtas. Now the last discussion. Moving on from Odaa, a person writes a shtar matana that's written in secret. Lo magbinuba, you cannot collect on that matana because you have to be choshesh that the shtar was written secretly because it was already given to somebody else. The matana was already given to somebody else, or the person is writing the shtar only as a modaa to be mevatel the shtar mechira that he's about to write to somebody else. Meaning, the reason I'm writing the shtar matana is my form of modaa because there's about to be a mechira on this, so that I could take out the shtar matana after the mechira and say, no, this predated the shtar mechira, so I sold you the Brooklyn Bridge, I sold you something that didn't belong to me, but we don't take it seriously as a shtar matana if it's done in secret. The Rimi Gash has a suffix, but this din is only when the kinyan was not made on the matana. It's the shtar is the makna, and because of he instructed that shtar be written b'seiser, we have to be choshesh that it's possible, but maybe if a kinyan was done on the matana, then there's no then the fact that it was done b'seiser is not a strike against that matana. Or maybe even if there was a kinyan done at the time of the nesina, it's still a matana tmuna, it's still a hidden type of matana. So that's a suffix that the Rimi Gash raises. But anyway, so this the chiddush of Rav Yehuda is a matanta tmirta is lo magbinan ba, that you're not allowed to collect on such a matana. Seichi dani matanta tmirta. What exactly is the case of a hidden matana? So I'm Rav Yosef. Damlu l'sadi. We're talking about a case that the nosein says to the edim, zilu atmuru v'kisvule. Go and hide yourselves and write the shtar matana for Ploni to give it to this guy. And since he told them to do it b'tzina, we're choshish that it's not a genuine matana. V'ikada amri. Others say that Amr Rav Yosef, that the din is delo amar luhu titvu b'shuka u'b'braisa v'tichtvule. That he didn't tell him, go write it in the shuk in a very public area. He didn't say, go sit in a public place to write this shtar matana. So if you didn't tell him to be mefarsim the shtar, we have to be choshesh that it's not a real matana. My binai, what's nafkamina between the two formulations? Well, very simply, ika binai ustama. If he didn't tell him to go be mefarsim, but he also didn't tell him to do it secretly. So according to the first way of saying it, only if you tell him to do it secretly is it called a matanta tmirta. According to the second way of saying it, only if you didn't tell him to do it publicly. It's even if you just didn't tell him to do it publicly, it's already a matanta tamirta. So that's the nafkamina between them. So Amar Rava. Rava points out, Vavi modal l'chaverta, a shtar matana that's written secretly is not going to work as a shtar matana, but it does work as a modaa against any future sale of that property, meaning or a future matana that you're going to give. Because let's say someone's forcing you into doing a matana, so you cleverly write a shtar matana to somebody else first, so that your hand can't be forced into the other matana. Meaning after the person is ma'anis you to give him the matana, you'll take out this shtar matana that preceded it, and you'll be able to get the karka back from the person that received the second matana. So Amar Rav Papa, Hada Rava, that which Rava says, that a shtar matana that's written secretly works as a Masirus Moda'a, lav beferish itmar, el michlal itmar. He never really said it explicitly, but we derive it from a story that happened where Rava had to paskin. Da'ahu gavra da'azel l'kedusha itza. A guy went to be Makadesh, a woman, to marry her. So Amar Le, iksafta li kulu nechsayich. The woman said to him, listen, if you're willing to write a shtar that says that I'm going to be the proud owner of all of your nechasim. It's a second marriage. It's later on in life. The guy's a billionaire. And she's like, okay, you want to marry? You want to marry me? I want all of your money. So avinalach, then I'll accept the kiddushin. V'ilo, lo avinalach. Otherwise, I'm not going to accept the kiddushin. Azul kasle l'kula nechse. He wrote all of his nechasim to her. Asabrek shisha, his older son, came to him. Amalei yahu gavra matavi alei. What did you just do? You gave away my entire Yerusha. What's going on over here? So Amalul Sadi, the father, said to Edim, Zilu atmuru be'ever yamina v'kisvulei. Go hide yourself in a place called Ever Yamina and write a shtar that I'm being makna to my son all of my nechasim. And that way, when the woman's going to come to Bezin with the shtar that I gave her all of my nechasim, my son will be able to take the shtar that predates her shtar that I gave it to him, and then we'll know that the matana to her was not valid. So asu the kamei de Rava, the woman and the son came to Rava to be down on these two shtaros that are sosur each other. So Amaluhu, Rava said, lo markana, v'lo markana. The son is not kona, and the wife is not kona. The son is not kona because the shtar matana was done secretly, so matanta tamirta doesn't work. And the woman's not kona because there was a moda'a. The matanta tamirta works as a moda'a against her kinyan. So that's the diuk that they made from Rava, that's where they got the idea that Rava holds that it's moda'a l'chaverta, that matanta tamirta could be a moda'a. So man d'chaza savar mishum davi moda'a l'chaverta, that when we first saw this event happened, we assumed that was Rava's logic, that it's a moda'a l'chaverta, v'lohi, but that's not actually Rava's logic. Hasam in the Maisa, where the guy wrote all of his nechasim to his son, mucha milsa d'mach masunzu d'kasavla, it's muchach from the very way the Maisa happened, that the tzivoy to write the shtar on being makna these nechasim to this woman was done ba'ones, because she wouldn't marry him unless he wrote all of these nechasim. So therefore, his das was not to be makna all of his nechasim until they're going to get married, and then he's going to be chozer on it. So writing the shtar to the son is a gilui das that the nesina to the isha was totally ba'ones, and therefore it works as a moda'a. Aval hacha, but by every other shtar that's written secretly, where there's no raya that the shtar that follows was because of any ones, so the first shtar is not going to work as a moda'a. Mar nichalei delikney, mar lo nichalei delikney. The makabel of the second shtar, he was happy to be makanez nechasim too, and that's why he wrote the shtar publicly. And the makabel of the first shtar, he did secretly because he didn't want to give that guy the matana, and that's dafka why he did it secretly. Meaning there has to be something inherent in the case that would tell us that he doesn't really want that second shtar to work. In the case of the isha, there is something inherent in the case that she was saying, I will not get married to you unless you give me everything. But in the other case, there is in a case where it's just stam, a random guy, why would I assume that he doesn't want to give it to him? Maybe that's who he really wants to give it to. So they raise the shaila, stam amai. What's it then if you say to Edim Stam that I'm giving a matana to so-and-so, and he doesn't say to write it secretly, but he also doesn't say to write it publicly. Remember, those were the two Lashonos. That was the nafkamina between the two Lashonos. So Ravina Amar lo Cheshinon, Rav Ashi Amar Cheshinon. Ravina says, we're not choshesh that maybe the matana was given as a hidden matana, and therefore the matana does work. And Rav Ashi says, no, we are choshesh that it's meant to be a hidden matana, and therefore it does not work. Vilchsa Cheshinon. The halacha is that were choshesh, that maybe it was meant as a matanta tamirta, and therefore the karka stays with who it originally began with. That is from tomorrow. We'll pick up the Mishnah on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Everyone have a wonderful day.